Good morning. Today is Monday, May 5th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. It's budget season in Sitka. On Thursday night, the Sitka Assembly held a work session to hash out the proposed 2015 budget drawn up by city staff. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz was there. She spoke with Robert Woolsey about what's coming down the pike.
Rachel, what's the headline news from the city's first budget work session?
Well, there aren't any service cuts or tax increases planned for the next year, but there are a whole bunch of rate increases for the various utilities.
And we don't consider rate increases tax increases because why?
Rate increases are the rates, you know, they're user fees. So they're the rates that you pay for electricity use or water use or wastewater, sewer. So it's just a different classification.
All right. What are some of the increases we're going to be seeing?
Well, water rates are going up 14%. Wastewater, which is your sewer rate, is going up 9.5%. And electricity rates are going up 10%. So those are all in the budget right now. And then we'll also be seeing probable increases in solid waste, which is garbage, and harbor rates. But those actually aren't in the budget yet because the finance department, in the case of solid waste, they're not sure how much it's going to be. And in the case of harbor rates, they're not convinced the assembly is going to pass it.
What's it going to mean for average taxpayers, average ratepayers?
So we took a look at a sort of average utility bill. So this was the utility bill of a city employee, and it's a four-person household, 2,000 square foot house. They've got a Toyo stove, baseboard heating. Their April utility bill this year was $262 a month. So that's before the increases. When you add the water, sewer, and electrical increases together, it goes up to $284. So it would be a $22 a month increase just with the water, sewer, and electrical rate increases. There's probably going to be a solid waste increase. So that's a garbage increase, but we won't know what that looks like until the solid waste study is completed. And that's happening now. And then if you have a boat in the harbor, you know, if you have a 45-foot boat in the harbor, you'd be paying about $8 a month more under planned harbor increases.
All right. Why are rates going up in general in Sitka? Are we paying off debt? Are we building new things? What's that look like?
Yeah, a little bit all of the above. It's the short answer is that costs go up. So whether it's personnel costs like wages or just the cost of repairing infrastructure. For the different utilities, it's for different reasons. So for instance, water and wastewater, it's really an issue of replacing aging infrastructure, water mains and sewer lines. Finance Director Jay Sweeney talked about places where sewer lines have literally dissolved. And so those funds need more money to replace the infrastructure. Electricity rates are tied to the cost of borrowing for the Blue Lake Dam project. So we are paying for the cost of issuing municipal bonds to build the Blue Lake Dam expansion. And solid waste, which is sort of the fund that's sort of in most dire shape, has a lot of issues. So the costs of the private contractors that collect the garbage and the cost of getting the garbage to the landfill in Washington, that's all gone up. The city sells recycling, and the price it's getting for recycling has gone down. And the customer base has gone down because people are using smaller garbage bins or recycling more. So it's been squeezed from all sides.
All right. And are we playing catch up here, or are we stair-stepping up to even higher rates? What's that look like?
Finance Director Jay Sweeney said the goal is to get to the point where instead of seeing 10 to 15% increases in a year, we're seeing sort of a 2 or 3% increase each year just to keep up with costs. But we're not there yet.
One thing I've noticed, Rachel, is that people are anxious about increased taxes as a result of all the road construction in Sitka. Both ends of the road system are having a lot of work done. Is that going to have any impact on the city budget?
Actually, Halibut Point Road and Sawmill Creek Road are both state roads, so that funding comes from the state, it comes from the legislature, so the work that's being done out there doesn't have any impact on the city budget.
All right. What about personnel? The city has several major unions. Are we seeing increases there?
Yeah, we're seeing wage increases for employees. So there's three unions that the city deals with, and the city employees who are covered by the Alaska State Employees Association are getting a 3% raise this year. So that's determined by collective bargaining, and that's government employees, pretty much all government employees other than electricians and police. So that's the fire department, the harbor department, all of those folks, and they're getting a 3% raise. Folks who are in IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, are getting a 2.5% raise. The police actually are not getting a raise this year. They're members of the Public Safety Employees Association, and that's because they got a 5% increase last year, which sort of covered 2 years in one. There's also non-union employees, so that's about 58 city employees who are in management or exempt positions, and they're also getting a 2.5% raise.
I covered the school budget, and one thing that the school board was hoping was that the city would increase its contribution to schools. Has that been factored into the budget this year?
Yeah, the city is contributing a little bit more. It's contributing about $190,000 more than last year.
Okay. What else? What were sort of the big takeaways from the budget work session? Did City Administrator Mark Gorman have any sort of message for the assembly as they embark on this process?
Yeah, the city administrator included a letter with the budget for the assembly in which he pretty much said that long term the city has a lot of reckoning to do. He said, you know, revenue streams that the city has relied on in the past, like state and federal funding, are just becoming a lot less reliable. And the city is going to have to decide what services it can provide, what it can't provide, what it should be contracting out to private entities, how to pay for all of that. And all of that might mean tax increases or service cuts in the future. In particular, he mentioned the issue of deferred maintenance. So this is really an issue largely of roads. How are we going to continue to maintain and repair Sitka's roads? And all of these are sort of big long-term issues that this budget doesn't necessarily address and that the city administrator is hoping the assembly will make some long-term plans for.
And this is just the first step in building the Sitka budget for the coming year. There's going to be opportunities for the public to testify about the rate increases and so on.
Yeah, this is, well, it's sort of the both the end and the middle of the process. So the city staff put together this budget, and then the hearing last night was the second of three work sessions with the city assembly. So basically city finance director Jay Sweeney presenting the budget. And the next work session will be next Thursday, May 8th, and it's open to the public. The public can go, and there's time for public comment. And then after the work sessions, the budget will come before the assembly as an ordinance. So it just goes through the regular assembly process. So the budget will be up for first reading on May 27th and second reading on June 10th, assuming all goes according to plan. And of course, there's opportunity for public comment at both of those assembly meetings.
And that was KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz talking with Robert Woolsey about Sitka's proposed 2015 budget. The next budget work session is Thursday, May 8th at Harrigan Centennial Hall. It is open to the public. Well, Sitka has won a spot on top of yet another list. The online realtor Movoto says that Sitka is the most livable community in Alaska, just ahead of Anchorage and Juneau. Movoto uses government data to create a preliminary ranking, but the final product has a more subjective feel. Movoto's blog, called The 10 Best Places to Live in Alaska, gives Sitka credit for once being known as New Archangel and having an average summer temperature of 55 degrees. Curious to learn more, KCAW's Robert Woolsey called up Movoto and spoke to online associate Patrick Brown in Lafayette, Indiana.
We will look at amenities, quality of life, which is kind of an amalgam of things, crime, taxes, unemployment, commute, and weather.
And somebody at Movoto is actually sort of crunching these numbers? Have you got a graduate student in a cubicle somewhere who's doing this stuff?
Actually, I'm the only grad student in this office, but I'm not the one doing it.
Patrick, do you ever feel the need to ground truth these rankings?
We've been asked that before, and really the truth is it'd be a bit biased if we did. I'm not against the idea of coming up there at all. I think I would love it. But as far as a ranking like this goes, we want to keep it as data-oriented as possible for the simple fact that we don't want to look, well, we just don't in general want to have any sort of opinion or bias.
I don't think there's going to be much infighting within the state over whether these rankings are accurate or not. I think there's widespread agreement that Sitka is a pretty great place. But I think everybody in Alaska probably agrees that wherever they're living in Alaska, it's better than almost any place down in the lower 48. And I don't mean that, you know, to be offensive. I think that's the reality for Alaskans, is that whether you can park your car in front of your house after a 5-minute commute or whether you have to run a dog team
2 days to buy groceries. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know what? I think you're going to find that actually state to state, because I'd make the same argument that I wouldn't want to live anywhere else other than Lafayette, Indiana. But, you know, that's good, though. I mean, I think it's good to have pride in where you live, and that's great to hear that.
What's Lafayette got going for it?
Purdue University.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep,
so
that's a big claim to fame.
Okay, so it's basketball country there.
Well, it wasn't. We were last in the Big Ten in basketball and football this year, but in the past, it's been basketball country. Yes,
Patrick. One other thing: how are these rankings meant to be used? Are they meant to be used by consumers, by brokers, by people who are considering a move to Alaska? Why do you guys go to the effort of producing this list?
Kind of all of the above answer. For consumers, I mean, this is the type of thing, if somebody is thinking about making a move to Alaska, let's just say that, it's the type of thing they can look up online and find this article and actually have some sort of guideline for making their decision of where to go, in addition to anything else. For a real estate agent, of course, it might be more of a sell, especially if it's somebody in Sitka who can say, hey, we were number one on this list by this real estate company. You should really come check this out. So on both ends, it's useful, just kind of depending on which perspective you're looking at it from.
Patrick Brown is an associate for the online real estate firm Movoto. To see the complete list of Movoto's 10 best places to live in Alaska and to read what they say about those places, visit our website, kcaw.org. And Movoto isn't the only organization with its eye on Sitka. In 2008, National Geographic magazine ranked Sitka 68th out of the 100 most historic visitor destinations in the world. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can check out our website, kcaw.org, for more news.